Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Recording a little earlier than usual here on the Friday afternoon. My schedule isn't really letting me wait until we have all the practice reports and all those injury designations from the West Coast in, but I'll walk you through what we know now and how I'm approaching it in week eight. Hoping that it's not that bad of a week for injuries. I said this throughout the week. We didn't have that many injuries coming off of week seven. Definitely have a few stars, though, who are still up in the air right now. So let's start, as always, with quarterbacks. And we'll get some of the easy ones out of the way here. Justin Herbert with the finger. Trevor Lawrence with the knee. They're both going to play through it, and they're fine, so no impact to the projections there. I mean, Lawrence, he ran more than he normally does last week, right? Despite the fact he was playing through that injury. So all good there with those two. Jimmy Garoppolo, he returned to practice after having that back injury that kept him out last week, and he's a risky streamer, kind of like all the quarterback streamers this week, to be honest. But his return is going to help lift that passing attack, and that's going to give Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers a better outlook in this game. And to a lesser extent, it's definitely going to help tight end Michael Mayer, and it'll help give those guys higher ceilings for fantasy. So Adams is a strong wide receiver one, Jacoby a wide receiver two, who's been just getting great volume this year, and then Mayer is a streaming option at tight end. Justin Fields, he's still not practicing due to that thumb injury. They say that he's targeting a week nine return. I want to see him on the practice field before I'm going to pencil him back in the rankings, but Tyson Bagent's going to get another start this week, and he's really just a desperation play at best, even in a good matchup here. I know people were so happy that he got the Bears the win last week, but Deonta Foreman did most of the work in that game, let's face it. So even in a better matchup on paper for Bagent, I would still be cautious with him. You know, he's more just a desperation start in 2QB and super flex leagues. It's a great story, though. It's definitely a great story. I don't want to poo-poo it at all. You know, I want to see him succeed. Just a very risky fantasy play. Brock Purdy. So this one's interesting. He popped up with a concussion, so he's in the protocol this week, and that stems back to the Monday nighter where he had that short yardage play, and everyone kind of realized that that was the time that he had the injury, and then he kept playing through it. But even though the NFL hasn't really been clearing these guys from the protocol within the same week, Purdy has been back at practice the last 2 days, and there's reports out there that he's on track to be cleared on Saturday. And yes, that is possible. It just hasn't really been the case with these guys in protocol this year. And let me remind you, when we had Dalton Kincaid a few weeks back in the concussion protocol, and there was a lot of reports that week that people thought he was going to get cleared on Saturday, but he didn't. So just keep that in mind. I know some of the people are reporting it. Maybe they're getting that from the team, that there's optimism that he can get cleared, but it's also a short week, right? So I would expect that Purdy is going to miss this game. And if that happens, then Sam Darnold's going to get the start. And I spoke about Darnold a bunch on yesterday's mailbag show, but I see him as a quality streaming option if he does get the call. And that's because he's got great weapons. It's a great scheme. He's had time to learn this offense and get comfortable out there in San Francisco. Doesn't have the same fantasy ceiling as Purdy, but he'll be a decent streamer if he's the one out there starting. And I'm not really dropping any of the 49ers skill position guys because the quarterback change either, because Debo's out, right? So there's going to be more than enough volume to go around, and Darnold can execute this system. I believe in him here. I think this is the right team for him to actually get it done. I just hope that he doesn't go out there and have a big game and then we have to hear about a quarterback controversy in San Francisco. It's the silly morning show topics, I know, but maybe Purdy will still get cleared and this will just be a moot point. But if Purdy does get cleared, he'll be a low-end quarterback one this week for fantasy. The next guy on my list, Daniel Jones. And speaking of people blowing up quarterback controversies, I definitely saw people talking about whether Tyrod Taylor should start even when Jones ends up being healthy. I like Tyrod, but I don't think that's even a conversation. Jones is obviously the starter when he's 100%. The only problem is we don't know when he's going to be 100%. He can't get cleared for contact. Brian Daboll's kind of dancing around questions now about whether Jones is even going to be back this year. So Tyrod's going to start this week and really for however long DJ misses. And this week's going to be a tough one against the Jets. Normally, you would be able to get Tyrod out there as a streamer. This Jets game is not the spot to do that. He gets the Raiders in week 9. He gets the Commanders in week 11. There are going to be some games where you could potentially put him in your lineup as a QB2 or a streamer, but In deep leagues, I think he should be rostered. I've picked him up in a couple spots in dynasty leagues and very deep dynasty leagues where I've needed some help at quarterback, whether it's because of buys or injuries or whatever. So I think Tyrod is somebody that could be picked up in those spots. But if you're looking at him this week as a streamer, it's just not the right matchup. That Jets defense is getting healthy again. They're going to be a problem for him. And this is another situation where Taylor being in there doesn't really change the projections for the Giants players. If anything, it helps their passing numbers, just not this week. Like I said, it's a bad matchup with the Jets. Deshaun Watson. So we covered him plenty this week. He's still not practicing. We don't have a solid timeline for when he's going to be back. So it's going to be the PJ Walker show for now. And Walker, just a desperation streamer against the Seahawks this week. And the quarterback and the matchup makes it pretty hard to play Amari Cooper. Cooper's kind of boom or bust on a regular day. So I don't know if you want to trust him here. Elijah Moore, he just really hasn't been doing that much with his touches. So I think he's potentially droppable depending on the depth of your league. And then even David Njoku, he's going to be hard to trust as a streamer. Ryan Tannehill, so he's out this week, likely going to be out a little longer too. And the reports are saying that Will Levis is going to start, but Mike Vrabel, he remains adamant that both quarterbacks are going to play. Maybe that means Malik Willis is going to handle some of the short yardage stuff, or it just leaves the door open in case Levis struggles. Either way, it's a bad situation for fantasy. The Falcons defense is really the thing you want to target here. That's the direction that I'd be going in. I would start that Falcons D against these quarterbacks because, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Derrick Henry, they might be going into this game wondering whether they're even going to be in Tennessee once that trade deadline comes and goes on Tuesday. So it's a bad scenario for the Titans offense right now. It makes it really hard to play anyone other than, I guess, Henry. And that's assuming that he doesn't get traded before kickoff on Sunday. Now, the other quarterback I want to mention is Kyler Murray, and he's off the injury report. So technically he could go, but they listed him as doubtful. Seems like they're going to wait until week 9 to bring him back. And it's not a great matchup against the Ravens anyway. And week 9, they got to go against the Browns defense. So it's not going to be a good matchup there either, but they're playing it safe. I think they're going to give him that extra week. And most of the reports have suggested that the week 9 return is what they were targeting. So keep stashing him. And if you have no better options this week, Josh Dobbs, he could be a desperation streamer for one more week. On to running back. So a couple guys at the top who had some injury concerns recently, but they're going to be fine. Christian McCaffrey, who not only did he end up playing last week, but he played every snap, just a monster. And then Austin Eckler, we had some worries about him coming out of last week's game that, you know, he already had that original ankle injury. And then last week we thought maybe he tweaked the other ankle, but he's been full practices all week. So he's locked in as a strong fantasy play. And then we'll talk about Josh Palmer shortly. But if Palmer's out, then Eckler and Keenan Allen are going to see a lot of targets in that game. Speaking of a lot of targets, Alvin Kamara, he missed practice at the start of the week, was just an illness, thankfully. So he was back out there Thursday. He's going to be back out there this weekend, just getting a boatload of targets from Derek Carr, who clearly doesn't want to take any sacks anymore, just dumping off to Kamara all day. But Kamara's fantasy managers, including myself, we don't mind at all. Keep doing that, Carr. Kenneth Walker. So this was one that I wanted to wait on because I wanted to see the Friday practice update. We had to record earlier. Like I said, I don't have that Friday news yet. And this is going to be big because Walker missed the first 2 days of practice this week. He's dealing with the calf injury. Meanwhile, you have Zach Charbonnet, who missed last week's game. He went from limited to full Wednesday to Thursday. He's trying to come back from a hamstring injury. We also have Kenny McIntosh expected to be available. He's the other rookie on the team. He's been on IR with a knee issue. So it's going to come down to Friday practice. If Walker can't get out there, then Charbonnet is likely going to start. If Walker is at least limited today, then he'll have a shot to play. And we're going to have to monitor it over the weekend if that's the case. And then, of course, if he's full, then he's definitely going to be out there on Sunday and he'll be active. And if he is active, then you're going to start him for sure. But make sure that Zach Charbonnet is rostered in your league, because if Walker is out in this game, Charbonnet is probably going to be a top 15 fantasy option in my running back rankings. And McIntosh is just a dynasty stash, a guy that, you know, you could throw on IR for now, but he's going to come off IR, so he won't be able to continue doing that for long. But until one of these guys gets hurt, if they end up with a more serious injury, a long-term thing, then maybe McIntosh will pop up onto our radar. But for now, he's just a deep dynasty stash. David Montgomery, so he's still not practicing due to the rib injury, and it's a Monday game, so there is a small chance that he could get out there on Saturday and then be active for the Monday nighter, but I doubt that's going to happen this week. None of the reporting seems to indicate that that's the trend that is going in, so Jahmyr Gibbs, he's going to be the workhorse while Montgomery's sidelined, and Gibbs is a top 10 play this week at running back, and then you have Craig Reynolds, who really is just a touchdown-dependent flex, and he's kind of a long shot to pay off, so Gibbs is the guy for the Lions. Saquon Barkley, he hyperextended that elbow last week, remember, and that's led to some limited practices, but really no concern that he's going to miss or be limited in any way. So Saquon's going to be out there as one of really the only, two Giants that you're willing to play for fantasy. It's Saquon and Darren Waller. Anything else, I think, is just a complete long shot. Raheem Mostert, so he had the day off on Wednesday. We wondered, was that rest? Was that a real injury? Sounds like he's dealing with a bit of an ankle issue, but he got back to limited practices Thursday and Friday. He's trending in the right direction for sure. He said he's going to play, so you could fire up Mostert as an RB1 for fantasy, and then we have to keep monitoring this number two job in Miami because Salvin Ahmed, he got more work than Jeff Wilson last week, but could that change once Wilson is a little further removed from his injury because that was his first game back? I think it probably will, and Wilson will take over that number two job, but we also have Devon Achan coming back in a couple weeks, so always a lot to consider with these Dolphins running backs, and if you can get Achan in a trade right now, this is the time to do it. That window is going to close soon. I would try to stash him for the stretch run. I mean, I doubt his managers are willing to move him unless they're struggling, but still, take a look, see if they would be willing to give him up in a trade. A couple of injuries in the Browns backfield that we got to update you on too. Jerome Ford, he has what they're calling a low-grade high ankle sprain, and that really made it seem like Kareem Hunt was going to get the start for at least a week, maybe a couple weeks, but Ford returned to practice on Friday, kind of surprisingly. He's listed as questionable. There is a possibility that he plays. I don't think even if he did that he would get as much work as usual. So, and I also don't think he would be as effective. I mean, dealing with an ankle sprain like this. But there are some ankle sprains that you can come back quickly and play through. I just worry that he would be doing himself a disservice and really risking an aggravation for that ankle. So, you know, maybe he's also worried that Hunt is going to step in and steal the job because Hunt has been a starting running back in this league before and Ford is still trying to prove himself, but Hunt's dealing with a thigh injury still, and he was DNP and then limited in the first 2 days of practice this week. So if Ford plays in this game, I would just be staying away from these guys entirely. Ford and Hunt would be risky RB3 flex types, but if Ford is out, then Hunt is a fringe low-end RB2, and Pierre Strong would become a flex option. Aaron Jones and the Packers, so it's really hard to know how to approach him because he's still dealing with this hamstring injury. Last week, the Packers gave him that reduced workload again, and in practice this week, he was DNP and then limited. He doesn't have an injury designation, though, going into this game, so that gives you a little bit of hope. But then when they ask Matt LaFleur about it, he says they have to be smart with him and that he's not 100% by any stretch. That was the quote. Then Jones himself gets asked about it and he says this is the best that I've felt and that he hopes to be 100% on Sunday. So I'm not really sure what we're supposed to do with all of that, but it's going to be hard to have faith in him, you know, this week in terms of what he normally does. You know, I think I'm looking at him as a low-end RB2 or high-end RB3 for this game. It's not just the injury either. It's the Vikings being surprisingly good against the run this year. They're giving up the 7th fewest fantasy points to running backs on the season. So I would temper my expectations for Jones. Normally, when he is fully healthy, he's up around that low-end RB1, high-end RB2 range in my rankings. But because of this injury, because of the matchup, because of the uncertainty about him going into the game, I think you got to bump him down quite a bit this week. And then AJ Dillon, he's really just only a flex option. Even when Jones is limited here, I don't think we have that much faith in Dillon unless Dillon's getting all the volume there and then he ends up being a volume dependent RB3 flex. I've been getting a lot of questions and comments about the Bears backfield, so we got to address this one too. I feel like I've said my part a couple times on the show this week, but regardless, we'll do it one more time. Roshan Johnson, so he's cleared from concussion protocol. He's going to be out there finally, missed a couple games, but now he's going to be back. The situation has changed for him though. If Roshan was healthy when Khalil Herbert got injured, I think that Roshan would have had that chance to be the lead back for however long Herbert's out. But after missing 2+ weeks here in concussion protocol, and after Deonta Foreman just balled out, especially in that last game, I see this as a committee at best for Roschon. And in that scenario, Foreman, in my mind, would be the lead back on early downs. And then Roschon would take over the passing down work with, I mean, a few early down touches mixed in for sure. And if you're the Bears, you're going to want to protect your backup quarterback who's starting. So I expect a run-heavy game script for them for as long as they can stay in that game. And I would think that Foreman is going to be the more valuable fantasy option this week until Roschon can prove that he's healthy and that he deserves more work. So it's kind of an unfortunate split that caps both guys for fantasy, but Foreman's the favorite for more touches and for goal line opportunities after last week's performance. And that's why he's the one that I would play between the two of them. Miles Sanders, so he was back to full practices after dealing with that shoulder issue, but now he's in a committee with Chuba Hubbard, and the coaches have acknowledged that. That's not just something we're speculating on. So I actually prefer Hubbard as a fantasy play this week, but really Sanders and Hubbard, don't love either of them in this game. They're both RB3 flex options. A few more real quick here at running back. Zach Moss was a DNP on Wednesday. Then he was limited on Thursday with an elbow issue and a heel injury. And as of right now, we are not sure if he is going to play in this game. I would expect that if he's out there, his touches are going to continue to shrink. Jonathan Taylor's kind of sliding back into that RB1 role in Indy. So if Moss goes, he's a risky flex. And if he's not out there, then Jonathan Taylor is going to vault way up into probably the top 6 or 7 backs in my rankings this week. No one's going to play Jerick McKinnon, but he was DNP on Thursday with a groin issue, was back out there today. I'd expect that he'll be in his usual role this week, so it doesn't really offer much fantasy value, but I saw his name on the list, so I wanted to mention him there. Moving on to receivers. So the big scare this week was Tyreek Hill missing practice on Wednesday with that hip injury. Some weird quotes from Tua as well. I mean, he was saying that they'll get Hill back down the road, and we all kind of read quite a bit into that. I left Hill in the rankings until we knew for sure, but it turned out to be nothing. You know, Tyreek back at practice the next day. He said he's going to play. There's really nothing to see here. And then his teammate, Jalen Waddle, he's still limited with the back injury all week in practice, but he is off the injury report. He doesn't have an injury designation for this game either. So both these guys are going to play just a whole lot of nothing from the Dolphins injury report when it comes to the receivers this week. But I felt like I had to address that regardless. The Bengals coming off their bye. T. Higgins, he's off the injury report too. So he's a buy low right now. Hasn't really been producing. He was hurt. Burrow was hurt. Now they're coming off the bye. They're as healthy as they've been. I would go get Higgins on the cheap if you still can. Deebo Samuel, he's still out. So Ayuk and Kittle are going to get a bump there, and that's going to offset the quarterback change if Sam Darnold is the one that's starting. And then Juwan Jennings, he's a flex option. He was the one who handled the number two receiver role with Deebo out last time. So I think he's a guy that could actually sneak into your lineup, especially in deeper leagues or leagues where you start three receivers. Deontay Johnson, he was downgraded to DNP on Thursday. That was a little bit of a scare because of the hamstring issue. And he said he had some hamstring tightness, but he was back to a full practice on Friday. He said it wasn't the same thing as the previous issue. So he's going to be out there this week. He'll be a wide receiver 3 for fantasy. I think George Pickens has begun to establish himself as the number one in that offense. And that's sort of what we saw in last week's game too. And that's a small sample size, of course. We want to see it over an extended stretch, but Pickens is a wide receiver 2 for me this week. The Texans, they're getting back Tank Dell coming off the bye. They're going to be without Robert Woods, though, so it's kind of a weird upgrade there. It's kind of a one-for-one swap. Dell has been really explosive for them. He's an excellent play this week. He's an upside wide receiver 3, especially with Woods out. Christian Watson on the Packers, another guy that we talked about getting a little bit banged up last week, maybe hurting his knee, but he was a full practice all week, so he's fine. He could be used as a wide receiver 3 with that usual touchdown scoring upside. Tyler Lockett, he's kind of in the same boat as his teammate, Kenneth Walker. Lockett, not practicing Wednesday or Thursday. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. So it's going to come down to this Friday practice participation, which unfortunately has not come out yet. And whether he can get out there and do anything is really going to decide what's going to happen. So if he plays, it's a tough matchup with the Browns. Lockett would be a wide receiver 3 flex, a little lower than he normally would be ranked. And if he's out, DK Metcalf is back. He's good to go. Metcalf is a wide receiver 2 for fantasy. And if Lockett weren't available, Jaxon Smith-Njigba would be a strong wide receiver 3 option with some upside there as well. Josh Palmer on the Chargers. So this one might be a problem. He's been playing pretty well with Mike Williams out for most of this year, but Palmer has a knee injury now. He was DNP through the first two practices this week. And then the update I saw before we started recording was that he was working off to the side today. So not really sure if they're going to call him limited or DNP, but he's at risk of missing this game. And that means, like I said earlier, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, they're going to handle huge volume because it's unclear who else in this offense is really going to step up. You have the rookie Quentin Johnston, who hasn't really shown much in his opportunities. You have tight end Gerald Everett, who, spoiler alert, we're going to get to tight ends in a second, but he's banged up with a hip issue. He was DNP and then limited on Thursday. I haven't seen anything on his status yet today, but if he can practice again, and if there aren't any negative reports about him being limited, then Everett could certainly be a streamer if Palmer's out. And then a really, really deep pickup and a name that you probably forgot, and this is only for very deep leagues, I want to make that clear, but Jalen Guyton has been back at practice. He logged his first full session since he tore that ACL early last season. That knocked him out for the year. Maybe Guyton could be the savior this week if Palmer is sidelined, but that is just for super, super deep leagues. I want to make sure everyone realizes that. Curtis Samuel, he's questionable with a foot injury. He missed some practice this week because of it. He was limited to finish the week, so we'll have to watch reports on him over the next 24, 48 hours. If he can't go, then it would bump Logan Thomas up, and it would bump Jahan Dotson up as well. Thomas already a fringe tight end one streamer. Dotson, he hasn't really done much this year. We saw the volume go up a little bit. He got a few more targets in the last game, but if Samuel were out or if he were limited, then it could help Dotson be a more confident flex. Zay Jones on the Jags, he remains out, and that's weirdly bad news for Calvin Ridley. And I know it seems kind of counterintuitive, but Ridley's had his best games when Jones was in the lineup this year. Otherwise, it's just kind of the norm for the Jags. They've had more games with Jones out of the lineup than they have with him in it this year, so you're still going to start Kirk, and if you want to go with Ridley as a wide receiver three now, that's how we're going to value him until we see him really start putting up a stretch of good games. Odell Beckham Jr., so he popped up as limited on Thursday with a shoulder injury. I think it was just precautionary. Seems like he can't stay healthy this year, but I think he is probably going to play this week. Regardless, Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, they're the top guys in that passing attack. And then you have Nelson Aguilar and Rashad Bateman and Beckham just kind of fighting for scraps behind them. If OBJ was out, then Aguilar and Bateman would be dart throw flexes. Some quicker ones at receiver here we'll go through. Treylon Burks, he was back to full practices coming off the bye. That's a great sign for him, but with the quarterback situation there and with DeAndre Hopkins still around, you can't really rely on Burks as a fantasy play. You're just stashing him right now in case Hopkins gets traded before that Tuesday deadline. Justin Watson on the Chiefs, he's going to play on Sunday, so that just adds to the receiver rotation in KC that they love this year. A small knock on Rashee Rice as well. I know he had a big game with Watson out, but more so hurts the rest of the receivers. You know, that rotation that they're doing, you can't really play any of the Chiefs wideouts other than Rice. Juju Smith-Schuster, he isn't on the injury report anymore. He's going to be back this week. Hopefully the team is smart and they keep giving DeMario Pop Douglas more playing time. He looks like a top two receiver talent-wise on that team, and he might not be number two either. So it would be nice to see his role continue to grow, but with Juju back, that does put some added risk into Douglas's projection. And that's it for receivers. There's a few other names, but they're really, really far down. So we'll just move along to tight ends, and mostly good news here at tight end. If you were worried about TJ Hawkinson's foot injury, don't be. He ramped up to a full practice on Friday. Kevin O'Connell said that Hawk's going to play this week, so he's a high-end tight end one. Darren Waller, he was limited all week with a hamstring issue. He's listed as questionable. I expect that he's going to play and be a mid-range tight end one this week, but we're going to have to check back on Sunday morning to know for sure. Juwan Johnson, so he's been back to limited practices this week, and he's trying to get over that calf injury that's kept him out for the last few games. The reason I mention this, though, isn't because you're going to put Johnson in your lineup. It's because the Saints and what they've done with Taysom Hill lately. He's actually become a pass catcher. So if Johnson returns, that's going to sap some of Hill's upside. But if Johnson remains sidelined for at least one more game, Hill would be a low-end tight end one in my ranking. So keep that in mind. I'll just say that earlier in the week, though, Dennis Allen did say that he expected Johnson to be available. So you're probably not going to use Hill in this one unless you're desperate, but just wanted to get all that information out there. David Njoku, he was DNP limited to start the week with a knee injury. Haven't seen anything that makes me think that he's going to sit out, but he's just a low-end tight end two streamer right now. Luke Musgrave, he was DNP limited with the ankle injury. He's listed as questionable. I'm genuinely not sure which way to lean on this one. I mean, even if he plays, I wouldn't use him because of the injury. And if he's out, I wouldn't look to his backup Tucker Kraft either, unless you're in a very deep tight end premium format. I think Musgrave just remains a stash, and we hope that he can get healthy and start to produce. Hunter Henry, so he's been limited all week with an ankle injury. You weren't playing him anyway. Zach Ertz is on IR, and we talked about Trey McBride the other day. He's a good pickup. Just don't expect a ceiling game this week coming against the Ravens. I like McBride, though, as a fringe tight end one moving forward. I think he could be that. The Cardinals, fourth in tight end targets this year. McBride is going to get volume with Ertz out, and Kyler's going to be back soon, so potential volume play there. He's certainly someone that you want to pick up and stash. You don't want to have him sitting out there on the waiver wire in your league. Gerald Everett, we mentioned him already. We'll see if he can get in another limited practice today. If he does, then he would be an okay streamer with Josh Palmer hurting or possibly even out this week. And then Pat Freiermuth, he's on IR. Connor Hayward, he stepped into that receiving role. You have Darnell Washington handling more of the blocking duties. So Hayward is a deep option in tight end premium leagues. And then actually I do have one more. Kylan Granson, he's been ruled out with a concussion. So Colts, they're going to go with that usual grouping of Andrew Ogletree and Mo Alie-Cox and the rookie Will Mallory. He's been getting some snaps the last couple games. None of them are fantasy options, though. But that is all for today's show. Ended up being a long one after all. Go check out Starts at Stash Quit. That went up today. I'll be back Sunday morning. We'll do the rankings updates. We'll do the takeover of the Scores main account on Twitter. I feel like everybody's just calling it Twitter now. Regardless, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. That's when we do the takeover, like always. But until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter, at Justin Boone. Big thanks for listening to the show. And we'll see you next time.
Said leave on time. My baby said, leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight.